John chapter 21, starting at verse number 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Sorry, I lost my place. He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wish. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." And he said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. And this he said to him, "Follow me." How should we respond to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord? That's what we are briefly exploring. Last week, we discussed living fully in response to the resurrection. That is, we reject the notion of just existing. We accept Jesus' invitation to the abundant life. We accept Jesus' invitation to experience the life found in God's grace and truth and love. You know, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life." Jesus says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly," or "have it abundantly." The offer of life is available to everyone in this room, to everyone in this world. And the appropriate response to the resurrection of Jesus Christ is to simply, to live fully, live life to the full. Don't live as zombies, don't live in the mediocre, but live life fully. Now, it's not the only response, and there are probably hundreds of responses, and I want us to consider another response this morning. I want us to look at another post-resurrection encounter Jesus had with one of his disciples. I just read the story of Jesus interacting with Peter, one of his close disciples. The gospel narrative of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all feature Peter as a prominent character. In fact, the Gospel of Mark, many believe, was a gospel that was just about dictated by Peter the Apostle. The author is to believe to be someone who sat at the foot of Peter and allowed Peter to tell the story, and he recorded it for print. That's the Gospel of Mark. Peter was one of Jesus' first disciples. In John chapter 1, verse number 42, it says, "He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, 'You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas,'" which is translated Peter. This was one of Jesus' first encounters with one of the first disciples in the Gospel of John. In John chapter 6, after several disciples decided to leave Jesus, Peter speaks up in response to this episode where some folks listened to Jesus and were a little confused about what he was saying, and they just left. And so in John chapter 6, starting at verse number 68, says, "Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom can we go?'" Jesus says, "Are you guys going to leave too?" And Peter says, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." This is Peter. John chapter 13, when Jesus, after dinner, wrapped a towel around his waist and got a basin of water and began to wash the feet of the disciples. It was Simon Peter who didn't just want Jesus to wash his feet. He wanted a complete bath. John chapter 13, verse number 9, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. You know, Peter began to understand the significance of being in the presence of Jesus and what was going on there and said, look, if this is what this washing is, I want you to wash my hands and my head and everything. Now Peter was also, he was just an outspoken disciple. He was always like the first one to speak. He often put his foot in his mouth, but it's because he was just, I don't know, an aggressive speaker. He liked to be maybe the first one to speak up. In John chapter 13, 36 to 38, after Jesus washed his feet and Jesus began to talk about, leaving and going to a place where they couldn't go. Simon Peter said to him, chapter 13, verse number 36, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. And then Jesus answered this famous retort, will you lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times. Now Peter is often, maligned and as being a big mouth or putting his foot in his mouth. And I think unfairly at times. The truth is, Peter loved Jesus. He really loved Jesus. He was a follower of Jesus because Jesus changed his life and he changed his direction and he changed his destiny. Now full disclosure, I really like Peter. And I kind of resonate with Peter. In fact, I see a lot of myself in Peter, or a lot of Peter in me. I talk a lot. I put my foot in my mouth sometimes. I talk a good game, but I often don't follow through. It's a struggle. And the tension in my life is present in my deep desire to follow Jesus and to do what's right while dealing with my own baggage and my demons and my struggles. Does anyone else here struggle with that? Like you really love Jesus, you really want to do what's right all the time, but you're just dealing with some baggage. You're dealing with some emotional stuff. You're dealing with some sinful stuff. You're dealing with some self-image stuff. It's a struggle, and many of us deal with that we want to do good for God, but sometimes we just don't think that we're good enough. We don't think that we're able enough. We don't think that we have the right skill or the right talent. Pre-resurrection, Peter was a mess. He was a denier of Jesus Christ in one of the most cringe-worthy scenes recorded in the gospel. Peter stood in a group of people who was accusing him of being with Jesus. And Peter said, I don't know him. I never met him. I don't know him. I've never seen him. I don't know what you're talking about. He began to swear and cuss and give them what for. He says, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know this man. And at that moment, a rooster crowed. When Peter heard the rooster crow, it jolted his memory to Jesus predicting that he would do that very thing. And he was distraught. Now, surely Peter was excited and overjoyed to know that his Lord and Master was alive and that the future was something to which to look forward. But in the back of his mind was this aching feeling that just days ago, pre-resurrection, he had denied even knowing Jesus. And that's what makes this episode in the gospel narrative so significant and so special. Let me remind you of this text. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? I don't know what the these are. I don't know if it's the other disciples. I don't know if it's things in life. I don't know if it's the baggage that he has. It's something. But Jesus asked him a question. Do you love me? And Peter says to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. A second time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Now Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. That had to be a frustrating response. It's kind of like if a loved one asks you, like, do you love me? Your significant other ever just come up to you one day and say, hey, Judy ever come to you, Gary, and just say, hey, Gary, do you love me? Now you say, yeah, of course I love you. Now what happens if she asks again? Don't you start like thinking some things like, uh-oh, what did I do wrong? Did I forget to do something? Did I forget to tell her I love her? You begin to think about a whole lot of things. I'm surely that's what Peter was going through. As Jesus asked him three times, like, do you love me? He's like, you know that I love you. You know, it just seems appropriate here to see what Jesus was doing. Peter denied Jesus three times, and Jesus heard Peter's declaration of his love three times. Jesus, after hearing this, and I believe that this was a moment of restoration. This was a moment for Peter to really express what he really and truly felt. That moment of denial, that's a moment that we all have. It's a moment that many times we go through. But this was a true moment right in the presence of Jesus. Do you love me? That was the true heart. That was the true feeling that Jesus got. That was a time of restoration. And after that time of restoration, Jesus gave Peter a commission to pastor or to shepherd or to take care. Here we see the importance of Peter in God's mission of the restoration of the world, the redemption of the world, and the reconciliation of people. We know that Peter would be a leader amongst the apostles. We know that Peter was a leader in the early church. We know that Peter was the prominent voice that preached the first sermon of good news regarding Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we know that Peter will be instrumental in the beginning of the early church, and that Peter would be instrumental in the mission of God, not only to Jews, but to non-Jews. And so Jesus didn't only restore Peter, he gave Peter a massive clue as to what his response to the resurrection should be. That response, care. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. Tend to my sheep. Take care of one another. Be there for the sheep. Help the sheep. Heal the sheep. Pray for the sheep. Build up the sheep. Protect the sheep. Jesus called Peter and is calling us to care. By feed, I mean to take care of one another. Living in the grace of God and teaching the grace of God and offering the grace of God from that place, care. Church, our lives are to be lived in complete love and devotion to God and in service to one another. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The moral of the story is care. Yeah, remember that story, some of us when we were younger, remember that story, I don't care, Pierre? Remember Pierre just didn't care about anything. The lion ate him up and I don't care, but then he spit him out and then he said, I do care. And at the end of the story, he says, the moral of the story is care. The moral of this story is care. The moral of the story of the body of Christ is that we live in full devotion, worship to God, and that we care for one another, that we show care for one another. It's no wonder that we see the early church responding to the resurrection of Jesus Christ by showing their devotion to God and their care for one another. Acts chapter 2, verse number 42, a verse and a passage that we hear over and over again. I think it's worth that we hear over and over again because this is what we need to be about. Acts chapter 2, verse number 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayers. All came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. The story of the early church community was a story of a worshiping community and a caring community. This was the first community of care. We can only pray and endeavor to mimic this caring community. You see, as a body, we try to care for one another and care for those in our community who might not be part of this church community. The story of caring more is one that has blessed my spirit ever since being in the body of Christ. You know, it was over 20 years ago that I met a man by the name of Clarence Campbell, who still remains one of my closest and best friends and colleagues in ministry. We worked together at a church in Flint, Michigan. I remember hearing him speak in like 1999, and I was a youth minister at this church. And at the time, we were looking for a preaching minister, and I saw the way he preached, and I saw the way he interacted with people. And I said, man, we need to get him to Flint, Michigan. I told him to apply. He was hired, and we began to work together, but more than that, we began a friendship that has lasted, over 20 years. It's been a long time that man has been in my life, and he's been a blessing to my life. And one of the things that I noted ever since we've known each other is that this is a man who deeply cares about people, deeply cared about me. I remember once I moved away from working at that church, and I moved to Lansing, about an hour away from Flint. And we had two cars. One of our cars broke down, and we had a young baby. Caitlin was just a baby, and man, it was just a rough time. And I remember him and his wife both driving all the way to Lansing, and I told him, you know, my car was broke down. It was a rough time, and I remember him coming, and they drove both cars. He dropped one of his cars. I was like, hey, just use the car as long as you need. Then he just left. Didn't say a word, because he didn't want me to say no. Didn't want me to say, no, you don't have to do that. He just hurry up, got in the car, and left, and just left his car. Because he cares. I know this is a man who, when he lived in Rhode Island, there was one of his members that got caught out there, strung out on drugs, and somehow ended up in St. Louis, Missouri. And he got in a car and drove all the way from Rhode Island to St. Louis, Missouri, and picked this guy up and brought him back to Rhode Island. He cared. You know, when they moved to Flint, he came there with his wife, his four children, and his mother-in-law Myrtle. And it always just impressed me the way that they cared for his mother-in-law. It's like, look, when we move, Myrtle was a widow, and we are taking care of her. And that's just how it was. And wherever they went, Myrtle went. And I wonder, why was it that they cared so much about Myrtle? Well, it turns out it's because Myrtle cared so much about them. You see, Clarence wasn't always a preacher. He wasn't always a Christian, wasn't always a minister. In fact, he and his wife met out on the streets as drug addicts. And that's what brought them together was drugs. But even when they were strung out on drugs, Myrtle kept caring for Clarence and his wife, Pam. And Myrtle kept praying for Pam and Clarence. And eventually, Clarence became a Christian as a result of the caring heart of Myrtle. And eventually, Myrtle encouraged Clarence, you need to go into preaching. And eventually, Clarence became a preacher and became this caring person. Yeah, Myrtle. I love Myrtle. Myrtle just passed away a couple weeks ago. And it was interesting as I watched people on Facebook send kind regards and warm remarks about Myrtle. And almost to a person, everyone started out with, Myrtle was one of the most caring people I've ever met. Myrtle met my mother one time. One time she met my mother and would just send notes and cards to my mother, just encouraging her, just blessing her. She was just a caring person. Myrtle reminds me of a woman in scripture by the name of Tabitha or Dorcas. There's a beautiful story in the book of Acts that often gets overlooked. in the book of Acts, because we tend to focus on Paul and what he did, Saul, Paul. But there's a short little story in Acts chapter 9, starting at verse number 36. It goes, "Now in Joppa there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with the request, 'Please come to us without delay.' So Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. Now all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, 'Tabitha, get up.' Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord." I think it's interesting that the one that Jesus said, "I want you to feed my sheep," becomes the one in the book of Acts with this woman who was known for caring for others. She has a name that's very similar to the name of the girl that Jesus resurrected from the dead earlier in the Gospels. And he says some of the same words, brings her back to life. And we see Peter in this community of caring, showing more care. Church, we are to be a community of care. The Reynoldsburg Church is a caring community. I have testimonies of how this church has cared for me. I remember several years ago when my wife had a mental breakdown. She had a mental breakdown, was out of work for a couple of months, and wouldn't leave the house. She doesn't mind me telling you this. Many times she wouldn't let me leave her side. I don't know if y'all know me, but I get cabin fever very quick. And so she was having a mental breakdown. I was having a mental breakdown. Now, I remember it was here at church that a member came up to me after we said the final amen. And she just came up to me and she slapped my hand with a check. And she said, "I want you to get your wife and just get out of here. Go take a trip." And I looked at it like, whoa. because she cared. We have all witnessed Brenda and Conrad Warwicka caring for her dad and her mom, inviting us all into the caring process by asking us to pray for her mom and dad. The way you have cared for your dad, Perry, is a phenomenal testimony of what happens when people who are followers of Jesus honor their mothers and fathers. And I'm bringing up Brenda and Conrad, but there's several of you out here. The way that you have cared for your parents, some of you who sat by your parents' bedside as they passed away, that it was just such a blessing to see that and witness that. And I gotta believe that one of the reasons that you excelled in caring so much is because you're followers of Jesus and you take serious his call to feed and tend sheep. Caring community. I witnessed it right here at Reynoldsburg. She's not here this morning, but Belinda, who sits up here every week, and I get to see Belinda up here with her grandchildren and see her up here worshiping and clapping off beat and everything. Don't tell her I said that, y'all. But I see her with her grandchildren who she has been taking care of for many, many years. Such a caring heart and a caring person who's growing older, not growing younger, but still pours into her grandchildren with a heart of care. And I want you to know that one of the things that gives her strength to care more for her grandchildren is this body of Christ and the way we care for her and help her care for her grandchildren. I've witnessed Jean and Barb Scheibner care for folks in the Reynoldsburg community for years and years and years and years and years. They've done it for so long that Jean can't go anywhere in Reynoldsburg without people recognizing him. You know, we go to breakfast, you know, from time to time, and every time we go to breakfast, you know, I always make the joke, yeah, how long will it be before someone recognizes you here in the restaurant? And sometimes we'll get to the end of the meal, no one recognizes them, and we're walking out, like, hey, Gene! Yeah, yeah. It's because they care. I've witnessed teenagers climb ladders and spend hours in 90-degree weather painting houses of complete strangers because they care. I watch this church every month invite over 100, sometimes 150 people to come into this church house and to share a meal and to give out groceries. As a result, you know, we have been asked to preside over funerals, to go to homes of people and pray. I was just at a home just a couple days ago with some folks who come to community care who has a sick child. I was at their home praying with them because someone here cares enough to call that family from time to time and to check on them and share with them some clothing and some food and some other items. And they shared with that person that, yeah, our son is sick and he keeps infections, and he said, hey, would you mind if we come and pray with you? And I went over there and spent 15 minutes with this family. They invited me into their home, and I prayed with them. Why did that happen? Because we care. And so when Bill comes up and says, I need some servants, we need some servants for a community of care, that's a serious request. It's a request that we all need to consider. How can we help with the community of care as we continue to be a caring community? Church, we are responding to the resurrection by caring. So let's not stop. Let's care more. Now listen to what Peter wrote to the early church community. 1 Peter chapter 4. And you tell me, if when he wrote this, that he didn't have his encounter with Jesus in mind when he said, do you love me? Feed my sheep. This is what Peter writes to the early church, 1 Peter chapter 4. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be serious and discipline yourselves for the sake of your prayers. Above all, maintain constant love for one another. For love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. Whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Care more. How do we respond to the resurrection? Live life to the full. Let's stop being zombies. And let's continue to care and care more. The moral of the story is to care. And I love that this church is writing more and more stories about the beautiful power of caring. Caring for our parents, caring for our children, caring for our brothers and sisters in Christ. In a couple of days, in a couple of weeks, we're going to be mourning and celebrating a life of the loss of life of loved ones. We do that because we care. When someone says, will you pray for me? I'm struggling with something. We pray and we make a promise to pray because we care. When people go to the hospital and we go to the hospital and we sit for hours, it's not a burden. We sit in the hospital for hours. You know why we do that? Because we care. We ask follow-up questions about situations that's going on in each other's lives. We want to know how things are progressing. We want to know that situation you told us about. We want to see the progress and how that's going on. We check in. You know why we do that? Because we care. We help each other out. Even though sometimes we're bullheaded and we don't want to burden other people with help, the reason why we come in and say, you're going to take this help whether you like it or not, the reason we do that is not to trouble you. We do that because, say it with me, we care. So because this is a caring community, let's not stop. Let's care more. And the promise that this church has to continually renew and offer to one another is the promise to care. So wherever you are at in your walk with God, your life with God, we want you to know that we care. And we want to help. We want to walk alongside you. We want to pray with you. We want to feed you. We want to heal you. We want to help you. We want to protect you. And we want to do all of that because, say it with me, church, we care. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the caring love that you have provided for us in the most momentous way, the life of Jesus Christ, who lived a life faithful to you, who was crucified, who was buried, but he was resurrected to life. And because of that life, he now gives us new life and opportunities to live fully. And God, he has also restored us to a right relationship with you by the blood that he shed, by the promise and the hope that is contained within the resurrection to life. And God, he has commissioned us to care for one another. God, I thank you for all the stories of caring that's taking place right now in this place. God, we might not be the perfect church, but we are a caring church. And God, I pray that we would never neglect the ministry of care. God, I'm praying that you would raise up servants in this place right now. There is a need in an area in our church, a growing need and a growing ministry, the community of care. And right now, I'm praying that you would stir in some hearts right now to take on this mantle of leadership and service in this very important area. God, I pray that the community of care ministry would be a ministry that would not only serve to feed folks and give people food, but that we might give them true nourishment, the Spirit of God, that people would come to know you more fully through a simple act of feeding and having dinner with folks. God, I thank you so much for everyone who's been involved with that. I thank you for putting it on Wendy Brown's heart years ago to start this wonderful ministry. But God, as that is the community of care, we pray that our caring community is not contained with that ministry, but that it overlaps and fills this place. God, thank you for caring for us and blessing us to be a community of care. We are the body of Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen. As we sing this next song, if there is something that we can do for you, praying for you, caring for you, blessing you, we invite you to come. If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, confess Jesus Christ, be baptized into Jesus Christ, you can do that as well. Stand, let's sing.